The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Well, welcome to a Tuesday in a pretty eventful week. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com, on the Progressive Voices Network, on a bunch of other stations, too. We're on AirProgressive.org, Netroots Radio, and others that I forget. But, you know, however you're listening, I thank you for doing so. Also, shows available as a podcast, as a video archive, on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, and I think we're back on Twitch today. Maybe. I don't know. Somebody let me know if it's working. Now that I got the new fast internet, if it stays up. Did I tell you it went out this weekend? Yeah. Not good. So my expectations are not very high. Although the other day I was so excited that, you know, I get these mega speeds because we got fiber now. But the company is just horrific. And the last time I had internet through them, it kept going out. That's why I wound up going back to AT&T. But I thought now that they have fiber, it'll be good. And then the first week we got it, there were two major outages. Luckily, it hasn't affected the show. So I'm knocking on wood laminate and hoping it stays up. Otherwise, it's going to be back to AT&T. And that's the last thing I want to do. Because they're a horrible corporate citizen, right? You know, it used to be, and I learned this from Tom Hartman, used to be back in the early days of the United States, in order for a company to get a corporate charter, they had to jump through a lot of hoops, different kinds of hoops than you have to jump through today. But in order to keep your license, your corporate charter, your license to do business going forward, you had to show how you served your community. You had to help your community. It wasn't just about enriching yourself and your bank account. It was about doing good for the world that you inhabit. We need to bring that back. We need to make all corporate charters have an expiration date. And in order to keep them going, you need to prove your worthiness. And I just don't see it. I see corporations gouging people. And right now, we're all hurting, right? There's record inflation. Some of us remember it from back in the 80s, but 70s, 80s. But nevertheless, record inflation and, you know, gas prices are through the roof, even though the price of oil, it went down, then it went back up again, and now it's going down again. But the gas prices haven't fallen at all. I don't see it because I don't drive. Well, I do drive, but I still rarely leave the house because the other thing is COVID's not over. No matter what you want to believe, and the Democrats are at fault for going along with this. And I guess they had to because of the polls, right? Because the polling numbers. Today I read Florida is among 20 states who are suing the government over mask mandates on mass transit. Please, Florida may be suing, but in this case, it's only governor death sentence, right? It's not me for sure. And so Pamela says we use Frontier for internet only, very, very few interruptions. We don't have that here. And I was led to believe, the reason was the town that I live in, Coral Springs, I've lived here for 10 years now, almost. And well, not quite, but David has lived here for longer than that. I've been here for years anyway. I was always under the impression that Coral Springs gave a monopoly to this company that's now known as Bluestream. It used to be Advanced Cable. And so you only had two choices. You had them or you had AT&T. That's it. What I'm hearing is, That's not true. I need to go back and research it a little further. But apparently, as of now, maybe they did give a monopoly back in the day when they were all vying to get into different neighborhoods when it was still new. Now, apparently, if a company wants to come in to this city, all they have to do is do the paperwork and apply. But that means they also have to run their cable or their fiber or whatever they use to get the signal to Coral Springs. And we're pretty far west. So, you know, I guess they can provide it if they want to, and they just don't want to. I don't know. There are a lot of things I don't know today. All right. So yesterday, I noticed that one of our members, our regulars in the YouTube chat, was, I don't want to say disagreeing with me, because people disagree with me all the time, and that's fine. You can disagree without being disagreeable. But Nevitz was like, anytime I'd said something that was critical of Biden or the Democrats, but what about Trump? Well, I wasn't talking about Trump. I can talk about Trump, but in that case, I wasn't talking about Trump. And so, you know, I wanted to have this discussion with Nevitz. I don't know if Nevitz is a man or a woman. I have no idea. Chat room, is Nevitz here today? Because I asked Nevitz to call in today in the beginning of the show so we can have this discussion, because I don't like arguing, you know, with the chat room, especially when I'm doing a live show, because I can't look over there and I can't be engaged there and, you know, pay attention to what I'm doing here. So any Nevitz? No Nevitz today, huh? Yeah. See, Nevitz chickened out because I said I wanted them, him or her, to call in so we could talk about this. And today they don't show up. Yeah. See, that's too bad. Well, if anybody else wants to take his position, please. I would love to have that conversation. 954-889-6410 is the phone number. If you're on Skype, you can Skype into me. I'm just Nicole Sandler, all one word. But the, yeah, not there. So here's the thing. And I've heard this over the years. I mean, I used to get it all the time when I would, you know, I was Randy Rhoads' regular guest host for about 5 years before she retired, right? After Air America, after Nova M, she was at Premier Radio. And she broadcast out of a studio in West Palm Beach, about a 45-minute drive from here. And when she was out, I was the main fill-in. And as you can tell, I'm a little less toe the party line than she is. I'm more willing to offer some constructive criticism to the powers that be, regardless of what party they are. Yes, of course, I'm going to criticize the Republicans, but I'll also criticize the Democrats when they deserve it. And God knows they deserve it. A lot. I say God, dog knows. So listeners would get mad at me. It's like, what you're doing is you're going to make us lose. Well, let me tell you something. If I have that much power, or I should say if I had that much power, I'd be doing a lot better than I am right now, frankly, you know, I don't have that much power. And if I do, shame on you. Because I tell you, because I say something critical of Joe Biden, or in that case, Barack Obama, people are going to vote against the Democrats? Please. It's not like I ever touted the other guy, because I haven't. You know, for many years before I moved back to Florida, I was an independent. In California, it's NPA, no party affiliation. And I was because, you know, there are a lot of times I don't agree with what the Democratic Party is doing, or more regularly, how they're doing it. So in my current role as a commentator, somebody who talks about what's going on in the world and giving my opinions, it would be really derelict of me to not be honest. And I'm sorry, I just don't have that in me. If I lie, you can tell. I'm not a very good liar. I'm just not. I'm not an actress, and I'm not a good liar. So if I, you know, I can't, yeah, like, okay, so here, Environmental Coffee House. This is Sandy in the chat room. She says, I'm really not happy right now with what Governor Hochul is doing in New York with all the money she's giving to the Buffalo Bills organization to build a new stadium. It's a conflict of interest. See, that's a prime example. Now, she's not saying vote for the Republican, but she is saying Kathy Hochul is doing something that's not necessarily in our best interest. I could tell you, not at all. The way cities and states suck up to professional sports teams and fund their stadiums is a travesty. That takes money from your community, your taxpayer dollars that should go to your schools or your police force if they're doing a good job, or to infrastructure. Instead, they're funneling towards a privately owned company that makes obscene amounts of money. The Buffalo Bills are doing just fine, thank you very much. They don't need your New Yorker, your money, to build a new stadium. If they want a stadium, they can finance it themselves. But it doesn't matter what state you're in, what city you're in, and how many times we've heard this or seen the play, it ends the same. Here in South Florida, they built this Marlins stadium in Miami. There's no reason in the world the Miami taxpayers should have been on the hook for that. But it happens all the time. It's socialism for corporations. God forbid, we have socialism for regular people who could use, universal health care or a college education. No, that would cost too much. But hey, we'll do this massive giveaway to the giant corporations who need it the least. It makes no sense. Sandy, what I would do is I would vote against her. By the way, something came out today. I didn't know why Kathy Hochul was all over Twitter. And what I'm seeing are mentions of donors who gave to Trump and to Kathy Hochul. Now, I told you when she took over, Kathy Hochul was the bluest of blue dogs. She was in Congress before she became lieutenant governor. And she was really blue. Not that blue, blue dog-ish. She was not a progressive. There's nothing about her. There's not a progressive bone in her body. She was a horrible congressperson. Now, I guess you could say next to Andrew Cuomo, anybody's good. But, she's up for re-election now because she is now just finishing out Andrew Cuomo's term. She'll be challenged. And I hope, I'd work against her. Funding a sports stadium today? To me, that's criminal. But, okay, I digress because I saw that. So, anyway, so with Biden, yes, I criticize him. I criticize him because I care, because I want him to do better, and I'm really worried. Did you see new polling numbers were announced today? Some, I don't know who did it, and I don't put a whole lot of credence in it, but it is worth just keeping in the back of your mind that one of the major polling firms did a poll on, 2024, a Biden-Trump matchup. And in this poll, Trump won. I think it was like 47 to 44 or something like that. I don't have the numbers in front of me because, again, I don't put that much credence in it. Again, it's a poll and we've seen how those have played out, and it's very early. But the idea that in any poll that orange piece of shit could do better than the sitting Democratic president, we should all be scared. Because if he or his ilk gets back in control again, there's a song I know. It's called Kiss This Thing Goodbye. It's by the band Delamitri. They're from Scotland, and we may just as well go to Scotland because it's not going to be nice here. We already see what they're doing. Look, I live in Florida. Our governor, who I lovingly have dubbed Moron Death Sentence, signed into law today the Don't Say Gay bill. And it's not, okay, it's not Don't Say Gay. And he keeps trying to make a big deal out of it. And he says, it's only the people who haven't read the bill. Well, I read the bill. All right. And there's two provisions. It's only seven pages. There's not a whole lot to it. But there are two parts of it that are offensive. And yes, they are offensive. They're homophobic and they're offensive and they will do harm to children. And I'll explain how in a second. Okay, let me read this to you. So the two provisions, number three, classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade three, or in a matter that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards. Now, the second part of that is subjective, so I don't know how you rule. But he put out a blanket, no talk of this, kindergarten to grade three. Well, I think a popular first grade assignment is, how did you spend your weekend or how did you spend your summer vacation? And little Susie comes in and she's in first grade and she's like, I went to Disney World with my two mommies. And what's the teacher supposed to do? Shut it down? And if Bobby goes home and tells his mother, Susie came to school and told us about her weekend at Disney World with her two mommies, Bobby's mother can say, two mommies? That's not right. That's not Christian. I'm going to sue that teacher. This law allows for that. Here, let me keep reading and I'll show you. All right, there's a bunch of stuff in this. Okay, well, this is number seven. Each school district shall adopt procedures for a parent to notify the principal or his or her designee regarding concerns under this paragraph at his or her student school and the process for resolving those concerns within 7 calendar days after notification by the parent. So Bobby's mom calls the school within 7 days and said, teacher, Miss N talked to my first grader about, you know, lesbian mothers. And she does that within 7 days. Okay, so the school district now must either resolve the concern or provide a statement of the reasons for not resolving the concern. B, if a concern is not resolved by the school district, a parent may, 1, request the Commissioner of Education to appoint a special magistrate who is a member of the Florida Bar in good standing and who has at least 5 years' experience in administrative law. The special magistrate shall determine facts relating to the dispute over the school district procedure or practice, consider information provided by the school district, and render a recommended decision for resolution to the State Board of Education within 30 days after receipt of the request by the parent. Follow this so far? Okay. The State Board of Education must approve or reject the recommended decision at its next regularly scheduled meeting that is more than 7 calendar days and no more than 30 calendar days after the date the recommended decision is transmitted. Okay. The costs of the special magistrate shall be borne by the school district. So now the school district is being saddled with an expense that they hadn't budgeted for this special magistrate, because Bobby's mom freaked out because, I forget the girl's name. I said, Susie has two moms. Okay, but keep going. The State Board of Education shall adopt rules, including forms necessary to implement this paragraph. Okay, at a minimum, the procedures must require that within 30 days after notification by the parent that the concern, 2, bring an action against the school district to obtain a declaratory judgment that the school district procedure or practice violates this paragraph and seek injunctive relief. Injunctive relief. Yeah, you knew it was going to get to money sooner or later. A court may award damages and shall award reasonable attorney fees and court costs to a parent who receives declaratory or injunctive relief. And that's how the bill ends. So Susie's mom can sue the teacher and the school district because Susie and Bobby's first grade teacher let Susie talk about her weekend at Disney with her two mommies. This is where the Republican Party is taking us, because it's not only Florida. Do you know that this was signed into law here in Florida today? There are 15 such bills being legislated in at least five different states already that want to do the same thing. It's like the abortion law, even though, as far as I could tell, the Supreme Court ruling still stands that says women have a right to choose up until, viability, which is around, 24 weeks. But Texas then put in, a six-week ban? And Florida was good. They made it 15 weeks. No. And now states all over the country are doing it. And the Supreme Court, even though we know it's been packed by the Republicans to be ultra right wing, and the justices, these stolen seats were handpicked by the Federalist Society. They haven't ruled yet, but you know what? They know how they're going to rule, because it's Amy Covid Barrett, it's Brett Kavanaugh, Brett Beer Kavanaugh, and Neil I'm a Liar and a Cheater Gorsuch. What do you expect? Along with Alito and Thomas? Oh, my God. Let's talk about Clarence Thomas, shall we? And I could go for days. Clarence Thomas is despicable. Oh, and did you hear what our governor, moron death sentence, said about Clarence Thomas today? Someone asked him about the conflict of interest, the fact that his wife, Ginny Thomas, has for years been a right-wing activist, and not just a Republican, but a wingnut, crazy, Looney Tunes. And this was DeSantis's answer.
The only thing I will say, Clarence Thomas, greatest living justice and one of the greatest public servants in America.
You didn't know he was a comedian, did you? Greatest living justice and one of the greatest public servants in America? Are you kidding me? It is in every sense of the word, opposite world. Nothing makes sense. And this is what the moron said when he signed the Don't Say Gay bill.
I don't care what corporate media outlets say. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what big corporations say.
Yeah.
Here I stand. I'm not backing down.
And he said that with a surrounded by, a 10 or 12 what looked like to be first graders. He is despicable. Everything about the man is reprehensible. And yet, Donald Trump comes out ahead of Joe Biden in this poll today for a potential matchup in 2024. And you know who the second, I didn't see it in this poll because I didn't look. But the person who's always, neck and neck with Trump, if Trump doesn't do it, death sentence can. It's almost surreal, because none of this feels real. So surreal is the opposite of real, right? When you feel like you're in the Twilight Zone. So Disney came out finally and said, we're against this Don't Say Gay bullshit. We're going to fight. We're going to work to make sure it's overturned. Now, Disney had been a DeSantis pet because they were playing ball with him. They worked with him on opening the parks and getting around the mask mandates and everything else. But now they're going against him. So this is what Death Sentence said today about Disney's pronouncement that we're going to, work to overturn this horrible law.
Also, just want to say one thing in relation to yeah. some of the one of the things I saw yesterday. We signed the Parents' Rights in Education bill. It's interesting when a Disney-owned ABC would put that out on tweet. They'd say, Governor DeSantis signs bill to prohibit instruction in sexual identity and gender identity in some grades. Some grades. Why would they say some grades?
Because it is some grades.
It's just amazing if you're trying to inform the route. So you saw a lot of this. But then for Disney to come out and put a statement and say that the bill should have never passed and that they are going to actively work to repeal it.
I applaud that.
I think one was fundamentally dishonest, but two, I think that crossed the line. This state is governed by the interests of the people of the state of Florida. It is not based on the demands of California corporate executives.
Ooh.
They do not run this state. They do not control this state. I also thought it was interesting. I talked to the Speaker of the House.
California corporate executives. He's just such a piece of shit. You know, that goes on for like another minute. You can thank me now or later for cutting him off. Yes, The Handmaid's Tale is here. Here. It's here. I don't know if you heard this or not. You know, during the Ketanji Brown Jackson hearings last week, you know, the last day on Thursday, there were witnesses. Thank goodness she was, they were done beating her up. They would have kept going, but you know, she didn't have to be there anymore, but they had witnesses. And one of the witnesses for the Republicans was the Attorney General of Alabama. Sheldon Whitehouse, as was his job, tried to ask him a simple question.
Is Joseph R. Biden of Delaware the duly elected and lawfully serving president of the United States of America?
He is the president of this country.
Is he the duly elected and lawfully serving president of the United States?
He is the president of our country.
Oh, my God.
Are you answering that, omitting the language duly elected and lawfully serving purposefully?
Yes.
I'm answering the question. He is the president of the United States.
Oh, my
And
God.
You have no view as to whether he was duly elected or is lawfully serving.
I'm telling you, he's the president of the United States.
Wow. Wow. So, you know, I'm going to call people out when they do shit like this. And maybe Nevitz will come back on another day and we can have this conversation another day. I will always criticize our elected officials when I don't think they're doing the job they were elected to do. And I think Biden is faltering. And sadly, in that poll, Kamala Harris did worse than Joe Biden. We need to look at the big picture. We cannot afford another disaster like 2016. We can't. We will not survive it. And you know, the media is not our friends. Did you see who CBS News hired as a contributor? Mick Mulvaney. Do you remember Mick Mulvaney? He was the director of the Office of Management and Budget in way over his head. And then because that wasn't enough work for him, Dump made him his acting White House chief of staff. And when the time came when the time came, you know, with the perfect phone call, Zelensky, president of Ukraine, is fighting, his nation is fighting to the death to preserve their nation. Well, back a few years ago, that President Zelensky asked Donald Trump for the weapons that he was supposed to get, these Javelin anti-tank weapons that they're using very successfully over there to knock these tanks out of service. And the phone call we all heard, the one that Dumpo described as perfect, in it, he tried to extort from the president of Ukraine money. Yeah, sure, we'll give you those weapons, but I need a favor from you first. And Mick Mulvaney is the guy who said, get over it. This happens all the time. Well, you know what? No, it doesn't. And if it does, well, thanks for telling us because we need to ensure that it doesn't. And how dare you? Get over it? Our president tried to extort a foreign president, and it wasn't even, you know, that wasn't even the big part of it. What he was extorting him for was to give dirt on his opponent's son to make up something, like not even to manufacture dirt, just to say he's under investigation, which wasn't true. And Mulvaney says, get over it. You see, and that's what's disturbing, that enough people who would participate in some poll today say they would vote for that over what we have now. That's why I criticize, and I will continue to criticize our Democratic leaders until they get it right. And if you want to fault me for that, well, then I think that's your problem. It's not mine. Because my duty as an American and as somebody who, you know, who talks for a living and who, you know, opines on our current situation, it would be malpractice if I didn't do that. It would be a dereliction of my responsibilities if I didn't come out and say, you know, Joe Biden's not doing what he needs to do here, or he's not doing a good enough job, or he needs to stay on script, because when he doesn't, it makes not only him, but us look bad. When he has to walk back a very strong statement that he probably shouldn't walk back, but if he wasn't supposed to say it, he shouldn't have said it. Now, I think my guest might disagree with me on that. Will Bunch is a national columnist. You read him at the Philadelphia Inquirer at inquirer.com. Hey, Will Bunch, how you doing?
Hey, Nicole, I'm good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm angry and upset and, you know.
Yeah, I can tell.
Well,
I can tell on your voice.
You know, well, yesterday somebody, I heard it from a couple of listeners that I shouldn't criticize Joe Biden when I think he's doing something wrong, because that will make people vote for Donald Trump. One has nothing to do with the other.
Yeah, I've been, you know, we've been hearing this argument for a long time, you know, and during the campaign in 2020 and, you know, ever since then. I mean, you know, I mean, look, I mean, this guy, broadly, I am very supportive of Joe Biden and what he's doing. I think, you know, if I had to rate him, I'd give him, you know, an 8.5 out of 10, which for me is like, I guess I hadn't really thought about it. I'll have to think about it some more, but somewhere in that range. Right. And I just published a column today about his handling of Ukraine, which again, you know, it's one of many things that are going on, but it's one of the two or three most important things going on right now. And I think I wouldn't do anything different if I were, you know, miraculously the president. Right. So,
right.
That's good. That having been said, you know, Joe Biden also just introduced a budget this week with a huge increase in
military.
Spending.
In military.
Right.
What
exactly.
The hell? Out of Afghanistan, the military spending should go down, right?
Yeah, I mean this was part of the whole argument, you know. And you know, I think, you know, people, those of us who voted for Joe Biden expected, you know, we expected a lot. Expect a lot of things to happen. Some of those things have happened, but some of these things have been a real disappointment. I mean, two that jump out. I mean, you know, I mean, what do Democrats have to do to elect a president who's actually going to cut the Pentagon's budget?
We needed to elect Bernie Sanders, because that would have happened.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I think we've seen enough now of the Biden administration's immigration policies to be just deeply disappointed in the way he's handled that.
That's right.
There
were a lot of promises made, which got 80 million people out to vote for him, but too many of the things that he promised didn't happen. And the ones that did, so the BIF still doesn't have a real name, the infrastructure bill, the BIF, get passed. And where are the bridges being built? Are you seeing it? The reason we're not seeing it is because the states get to control how the money is spent. So all this money going to these Republican states, those governors, like DeSantis, gets to decide how Florida's money gets spent. No, that's not what we wanted. We wanted this infrastructure taken care of. There was no plan on the federal level as to how the money was going to be spent.
Yeah, I mean that's ridiculous. You know, the one thing I wanted to add, because when you talk about broken promises and the people who elected Biden president, I just think I see a real disconnect. I see a lot of people, and maybe it's because I'm, you know, the father of two 20-something children, and my kids are lucky. They were somehow able to get through school without having a huge student debt load that so many young people have, but many of their friends do. And if you know 20-something voters, and I know a lot of 20-something voters for somebody my age, because of my kids and whatnot, and they are deeply disappointed that Biden broke his promise to do something about college debt.
Exactly.
I mean, and it's not like some abstract thing. I mean, he said in actual, you know, written words on Twitter and in statements, if I'm elected, I will reduce at least $10,000 of student debt. Now, it should be more than that.
It should
probably
be more. And he's done nothing.
But at this point, $10,000 would be a big positive step. He promised it. Many legal experts, the majority, I believe, of legal experts believe that he has the authority to do this without having to go through Congress. And he hasn't done it, you know, certain advisor, you know, there's been this kind of, it's like the cartoons, right, with the angel on one shoulder and the devil on one shoulder, right? Yeah. You know, I mean, ever since Biden became the presumptive nominee for the Democrats, he's had, you know, the progressive angel, you know, with, you know, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who, you know, he's talked to a lot and he's listened to them at times, and it's mm-hmm. been good. But, you know, they've been on one shoulder, and the
Joe Manchin and Kirsten Sinema on the other. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the devil voices, you know, seem to be winning out, and they have. And what's frustrating is they have advocates, I believe, in the White House. You know, Susan Rice and you know, I think she's very smart on foreign policy.
But why is she a domestic advisor?
Yeah, well, because they thought that, I mean, you know the history, Nicole, right? They thought Mitch McConnell would still be the Senate Majority Leader when they were picking their cabinet. And they thought, because of Benghazi, she would never, you know, which is a joke, that she would never get confirmed. And so they wanted to give her something.
Yep.
So she's this top domestic policy advisor. You know, I mean, her instincts on domestic policy are the exact same instincts that give you a bloated Pentagon budget every year, you know, and it's like,
and that's probably why he asked for so much more money. You know, ostensibly it's Ukraine, but what about all the savings from pulling out of Afghanistan after 20 years? That should save a couple of bucks, shouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, all right. So we're giving Ukraine, you know, these anti-tank missiles. I mean, we probably had them in the basement all this time. You know, it's like, I just don't see, you know, you can't tell me, you know, I mean, I've written this phrase in my column so many times because it's just so unbelievable and frustrating. But as we all know, the United States spends more on defense than the next 10 countries
together.
Combined.
Yeah.
You know, so China, Russia, India, all these countries, you know, we spend more than all those countries combined on defense. So you just can't tell me.
But we've run out of money for COVID testing and vaccinations. If you're uninsured,
COVID testing, we've decided to stop a briefly innovative period of giving people school lunches for free,
right?
Which was such a great idea, you know. I mean, the stigma of having two social classes of people on free lunch and not on free lunch, and to eliminate that and then to undo it, I mean. You know,
it's
don't
disgusting.
Get me started on the child tax credit. I mean,
I hear you. Yeah. So yeah, you're making my point, Will Bunch. You're making my point that it's our responsibility to criticize that. If we sat back and said, oh, everything's fine, they're doing good, that, I think, would cause people not to vote. If that's them doing good, then obviously we need something different.
Yeah, I mean, look at... Exactly. I mean, look at the student loan thing, for example. You know, they were back at the start of the year, they were going to start up student loan repayments again. And, you know, some of us went out there and screamed bloody murder. And, you know, at least they put it on hold again because they realize they're not smart enough to get it right, but they're smart enough to realize that they're at the risk of getting it terribly wrong. And, you know, and we keep raising our voices. Actually, In fact, I may go down to D.C. and cover it on April 4th. So this coming Monday, there's a going to be a big student debt protest in D.C. And, you know, that's what you need that. You need, you know, because it works, you know. I mean, you know, people who voted in the primaries for Bernie Sanders or for Elizabeth Warren, I'd argue that they didn't waste their votes because Biden, who's a very smart politician, you know, saw that. And he worked with them for the rest of his campaign. And, you know, I mean, for a while, we saw the beginnings of what was going to be a progressive administration.
Very optimistic at the beginning.
Yeah. Now, we're not seeing that now. I mean, is what we're seeing now, you know, 100 times better than a restoration of Donald Trump?
Yes.
Of course it is.
Worst day of the Biden administration, it is 1,000 times better than the best day under Trump.
Yeah.
But they're mutually exclusive. When I talk about Biden and say I'm disappointed that he's not living up to his potential, I'm not saying anything about Trump. My disdain for him, my utter disgust remains. This is not about him. It's about the Democrats need to do better.
Yeah, I mean, I think that pushback that you get from people saying that, you know, you're only helping Trump. I hear that too, but I mean, you just have to think it through. I mean, what voter out there is going to hear a criticism of Joe Biden from the left, you know, that he's not doing enough about student loans or that he needs to cut the Pentagon budget instead of raising it? Who's the voter out there who's going to change his mind and vote for Trump because of that criticism?
Right, exactly.
The kind of things that really animate the what I'm now calling the Let's Go Brandon crowd, because that seems to lump them all in, you know, the things that animate them, you know, I'm repeating what they say, you know, that Joe Biden is feeble-minded or that he, you know.
And in this case, I will point out Trump. Did you hear him for 4 years? You want to talk feeble-minded.
Hey,
at least Joe Biden has a brain.
Right.
You know?
Well, Joe Biden has a brain to bring in some good people and you know, try and actually use the tools of government sometimes to help people, you know.
And knowledge of how government works, what's in the Constitution. I mean, the differences are astounding.
Yeah, this emphasis on the fact that, you know, every time Biden gives a speech, is a 78-year-old, and I'm only 63, but I can certainly appreciate it, you know, that he uses the wrong word in a sentence.
But you know what? He's 78.
That really important?
But I mean, what they don't talk about is Trump is 75. He's 3 years younger, and I'm sorry, 3 years at that age is nothing. Trump is the same age as Joe Biden. 3 years when you're 75 or 78, they're both the same,
we don't know how much Trump's brain has been slowed down by all those Big Macs and KFC dinners.
Right.
You know,
I'll say Biden's in much better shape than Trump.
Once your arteries get clogged, the blood's not flowing, right?
All right. The brain, so. Let's talk about some other stuff, because you've got a bunch. There's so many. You write these columns, and every time it's like, oh, we should talk about that. So today, the column today, you wrote Gaffe or Churchill. History will judge Biden. Now, when you were coming on, I was going off about, I did criticize Biden. Well, I heard the speech, and I heard him say this when he said it the first time. He said this.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
And my first thought is, I hope that was in the script and not ad-libbed. Because Joe Biden has a tendency to put his foot in his mouth. And sure enough, it was ad-libbed. And I get that he was feeling it. It was his emotion. It was his personal feeling. But you don't do that on the world stage, because it sounds like he's saying, we're going to depose this man.
Yeah, well, I mean, the piece I wrote about it, you know, it's, you know, probably 75% of the things I write are pure, you know, one direction outrage. You know, occasionally an issue comes up. Which is nuanced, you know. I'm not a big fan of on one hand, on the other hand.
Right.
But sometimes there's, I think there's always a bigger hand and a smaller hand if there are two hands.
Right.
And
gotcha.
I think, to me, this is one of those cases. So to me, I totally get the, on the other hand, I mean, the reason you want to be extra careful about advocating for regime change is simply because it changes the stakes of the war, you know? So if, you know, I mean, I think we all want to see a negotiated settlement, hopefully one that, please, you know, locks in everything that Ukraine has achieved.
And stops
the killing. And the thing is, you know, if Putin is convinced, then, you know, these words could certainly help convince him that the war is really about the life or death of his regime.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it more likely that he could throw a Hail Mary pass to prevent himself from losing the war. And by Hail Mary pass,
it means anything.
Chemical weapons, nuclear weapons.
Right. This was Biden saying the quiet part out loud. Fine. Yeah. We all think it. God, I think it. But
yeah, I mean, on the other side, well, that's the thing, you know, and he's already called Putin a war criminal. I mean, how much worse can it get? Right. But, you know, I do think, you know, people around the world are beaten down just by, you know, they've been beaten down certainly in the last 2 years by COVID but also just by the state of our politics, those of us in the baby boom, you know, who grew up around a lot of World War II veterans, and we always hoped we would never see a return to some of the things that they had to deal with in terms of, you know, fascism and authoritarianism. And, you know, here we are, and it's 2022, and we're dealing with these things, and we're dealing with rising authoritarianism, and we're dealing with the potential of World War III. You know, hopefully not, but it's, the potential exists, right?
Yep.
So I think people are demoralized, and they need to be rallied. And so that was my, on the other hand, that was my, to me, the deciding argument was.
But you know what? The speech was strong without that line. Mm. He was great. And then I heard that line and I thought, damn, I think that's an ad lib. And sure enough, the minute he finished, they had to walk it back. That's the only thing. And if he didn't say that, the speech was very strong before that. That took away from the rest of the speech.
I get that, but I'm trying to look big picture. I mean, I think big picture, the strategy's been great. I think taking a tough stance rhetorically is the right thing to do. Was that unscripted, and did it go too far, and did it create certain risks? As I acknowledge, it did. You know, I mean, you know, it was walk back. I mean, we don't live in the kind of emperor has no clothes dictatorship where a bunch of lackeys came out afterwards and said, no, that's what he meant. That's new policy. We did clarify it.
And he clarified it.
It wasn't perfect.
Yep.
But it is what it is. I still feel that we're on the best course. And I would still, even with that comment, I would still give Biden a grade of A for, you know, and as we just discussed, there are other areas where I give him a C, you know, this area or a B maybe, but, you know, in this area, I still give them an A for the overall handling of the war.
Okay.
So,
we'll see, and
like I said, at the end, you know, history will ultimately judge this remark, and history is written by the winners. So, if the war ends in a defeat for Putin and things go badly for him, you know, that'll probably be engraved on the wall in the Joe Biden library, right? You know,
I hear you. I agree with the sentiment. I think he needs to be taken out. I've said this on the air. Somebody needs to go up and take him out. But that's the kind of thing you don't say out loud.
There's so many ramifications. I mean, what if something does happen to Putin? Is the next person better or worse? In our fantasy mind, you know, it's President Navalny, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's some wacko general, you know.
Yep.
Who knows? I don't know.
Okay. Hey, Will Bunch, I want to move on because actually your piece from the 27th was the Supreme Court has a giant legitimacy crisis, which means so does America, is important. But there's also this little thing that this year marks the 50th anniversary of Watergate. And when we're looking at right now with the revelations about Trump and January 6th and what he did and what he knew and what the people around him did and knew. And so far, we have an attorney general who appears to be on vacation or something. Yeah. I wonder, you look back at Watergate 50 years ago, and I know that you were a Watergate junkie, that you would come home from school. We're the same age. So we were, what, 12? You'd come home from school.
I guess I'm a year or two older. I was like 14.
But okay. Yeah. So you'd come home from school and watch the hearings and everything. But think about what that was about. It was a burglary of the DNC headquarters. It was the cover-up, obviously, but that's what it was. And you look at what we're looking at now, an insurrection at the Capitol. And
yeah, I mean, I think you're right, and you can't minimize what Nixon did. I mean, he had a legal bugging and spying operation, you know, where they broke into Daniel Ellsberg's office, and the stuff that they talked about but didn't do, thank God, was even crazier, you know, assassinating Jack Anderson, firebombing the Brookings Institute. And, you know, I mean, it was shocking that these things were discussed in the Oval Office, right? But yes, I mean, January 6th, I mean, you know, I mean, if you had gone back in time, you know, 10 years, say, or whatever, and you said, in the not too distant future, a president of the United States is going to attempt what, when you put it all together, clearly was a coup, right?
Oh, and,
you know, and excuse me, I'm sorry.
That's Will's phone, not mine. Just yes, in case.
But I know I got this new waterproof cover, but I can't turn the sound off. It's like,
oh no.
Yeah. I mean, if you'd said, you know, there's going to be a president, he's going to attempt a coup, you know, he's going to send his people up to the Capitol and break in, and at the end of the day, five people are going to be dead.
Right.
You know, if you'd said all those things and said, oh, by the way, nothing's going to happen to the president who did this. That's when you think of it in those terms, it's just shocking. And yet this is what we're seeing. I mean, he was impeached, which again, you know, when you think about it, I mean, we knew the night of January 6th that what Trump did was so egregious that he had to be impeached in a way that no president, I mean, it was the fourth time a president has been impeached and the second time for Trump, or the fifth, if you really want to count Nixon, the whole Nixon process,
mm-hmm.
but impeached in a way that never happened before. Now, without even having to do the hearings and everything, because we knew it was so over the top wrong. And, you know, we couldn't get a conviction because of 40 senators. And so now here we are 14 and a half months later. And, you know, I know everybody's talking about this, and I know there are people out there who are legal junkies, you know, the most prominent one that a lot of us read is Marcy Wheeler, right,
mm-hmm.
who have this theory that, no, if you look at the way they're building the case, it takes time. And,
yeah, you know, and
people pointed out to me, well, you know, Watergate took time. But Watergate was different because Watergate, there was evidence that took 2 years to get, you know, the tape recordings and whatnot. That's not really, I mean, we are, of course, still getting some evidence about Trump, but we basically know what he did, you know.
Right. But let me ask you this. We got news today, all of a sudden, that the Department of Justice is hiring, and depending on who you look at, between 80 and 131 new attorneys that I hear are for January 6th prosecutions. And maybe it's because the January 6th commission got together last night. They gave an indictment or referral for a criminal indictment for Scavino and who's the other one? I'm drawing a blank.
The economic guy.
Yeah, Navarro, right?
Yeah, thank you.
But
yeah.
Then there's, but they got an earful last night, and one Congresswoman, Elaine Luria, who's on the committee, said this.
And the Department of Justice must act swiftly. I will echo what my colleagues have already said, but more bluntly, Attorney General Garland, do your job so that we can do ours.
And then today we hear they're hiring up to 131 new attorneys for the Justice Department.
That was an amazing moment. I think I did read actually about the 131 attorneys before.
Oh, did you? Okay.
That meeting. So I don't think it was. I don't think they ran
Cause
out this morning
effect.
And said, "Oh
gotcha.
My God, you know we've been, you know that we've got to." But it's kind of a classic good news, bad news thing,
yeah.
Right? Because I mean, I'm certainly glad that they're stepping up their investigation. But again, what? They're doing it now.
Right.
And if that's true, I mean, you know, and I just listened to the audiobook of Garrett Graff's new book on Watergate, which is fantastic. If you want to go back in nostalgia and remember some things you forgot and learn a few new things, or if you're under 40 and you want to know what Watergate was all about, it's a great read. I'm doing a thing tomorrow at
4:15 Eastern. I saw it
tomorrow, 4:15 Eastern.
Uh-huh.
I hope you can Google something called the Will Bunch Culture Club, and you'll get the first result will be the sign up, and you can go sign up for this great conversation I'm going to have with Garrett Graff about Watergate. And but in the book he gets into, there's a lot about the Watergate prosecution, and you know, they hired a ton of attorneys, but it didn't happen overnight, you know, and it was a lot of, you know, it was a lot of 16-hour days for months at a time. And so if they're essentially just starting this process with Trump now, I mean, it's better than not at all, but, you know. And
it should have been done a year ago.
Let's say hypothetically that they do investigate Trump, and the way it plays out, he's not even charged until 2023, let's say. You know, if that goes on, I mean, first of all, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's going to be very hard to stop there from being a Republican Congress in 2023.
Oh, I know.
So, you know, Biden will still be president, you know, Merrick Garland or whoever, a Democrat, will still be the attorney general, but he'll be swimming against those currents now. You know, I mean, imagine this scenario, you know, imagine they actually do finally go out in, you know, February 2023, and they indict Donald Trump. Well, the next day, the Republican House impeaches Merrick Garland, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And you talk about the constitutional crises.
Oh, that would
be the mother of all constitutional crises.
That's right.
Crises.
January 6th will seem like, oh, a typical tourist day at the Capitol, they like to describe it, if they get back in power and do what they are capable of doing and what they say they're going to do and what their actions show they're going to do. And I'm talking in this case about tampering with elections.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and Trump, and I wrote about this last month, but I mean, Trump has already done what we feared he would do, which is he basically told his supporters, you know, if I get indicted, I want you to go out there into the streets.
That's right. And
he basically called for another January 6th,
yes,
you know, if the district attorney of Fulton County in Georgia brings an indictment against Trump for election tampering, which she's investigating to her credit, you know that people are going to come down from the hills of Georgia in their Taliban pickup trucks, you know, with their Trump flags, and raise bloody hell against this African-American woman prosecutor who had the, you know, temerity to indict Donald Trump. It's, you know. This country is going to go through some things.
It's going to go through some things. We're facing a potential, I mean, you know, the 4 years under Trump were nothing compared to what happens if he and his lemmings get back in charge. And it's looking like they can. It looks like in this November, unless we come out en masse and vote against them, vote in lockstep for the Democrats. The Democrats got to give them something to vote for. That's why I criticize.
That brings it all full circle, doesn't it? Because they just don't get it. You need, you know, you're not going to, this idea that voters in rural Pennsylvania are going to be flipped over to vote for Biden by some sense.
Because I say something that he,
no, because they're, you know, they all, their culture is, if, you know, if, you know, they'll be shunned in their church if they don't chant, "Let's go Brandon," with everybody else. Right. They're not going to vote for Biden. But the way they do win is get those same 82 voters who vote, 80, excuse me, same, 80, the same
80 82 million,
million, 82 voters. Million voters who voted in 2020. Get those same folks out to the polls. And I'm talking about young people who are very disappointed.
Give them a reason to vote for you.
About climate change.
Right.
And I'm talking about African Americans who don't know what the hell just happened with voting rights. You know,
nothing. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And, you know, I mean, you can say it's Joe Manchin's fault, and obviously, he's a big part of this.
Right. But Truman had a thing on his desk that said the buck stops here. And Joe Biden is just, he's not a strong enough leader. He needs to have control over his caucus. I mean, he needed to do something.
If Ukrainians figured out how to deal with Vladimir Putin, then we can figure out how to deal with Joe Manchin, you know, and get around him, right? I mean,
Will Bunch, you know, perfect words to end on. We could keep going, by the way.
We can do this all night.
Jamie Raskin, who who was brilliant last night, who you say your flow. We're going to run a couple minutes long if you don't mind.
You know what, Nicole? Do you ever do a monologue, or in my case, write a column, and then the minute after it's published or whatever, you realize something you should have said. And I wrote that column a couple months ago, but I realized today, I mean, Jamie Raskin could be the American Zelensky, right? I mean,
he could.
Because the same thing, he's a unlikely guy who, because of circumstances, is now the voice of democracy in this country, you know, and God bless him. And, you know, I've had a chance to speak with him, and he's just,
he's the real deal. He's amazing.
TV, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. My only issue is, one, he's a member of Congress, and I think it's been since Garfield that somebody's come from the House to the presidency. And the second is he's Jewish. And in this country, they elected a Jew in Ukraine, the land of the Nazis. But right,
I wasn't even really thinking in those terms in the Zelensky comparison, but you're right. Well, I mean, this gets to be the dilemma, right? You know, it's like, you know, I mean, you know, I don't want to go off into a whole riff on Kamala Harris and whether she's done a good job or not. But, you know, I think whether or not even if she's done a great job as vice president, there's a lot of fear that how could a black woman ever win a presidential election in this country? And it causes people to freak out. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot, you know, I mean, I think Joe Biden is what he is, but I think a lot of voters said we have to make sure we get rid of Trump, and you know, a white, straight, you know, Catholic, male is the only way we can guarantee we're going to do that. And now that idea is locked in, right? So now there's going to be this fear going forward of there's great women, there's great people from all kinds of backgrounds out there.
But we need the old white guy. No, actually, we don't.
Yeah, but, well, Hillary Clinton lost and Joe Biden won. And so now that becomes the conventional wisdom. And how do you beat that, you know?
By making new history. Anyway,
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Will Bunch, always a pleasure. This flew by too fast. Next time you just have to come on earlier in the hour because there's too much to talk about.
I'm around.
All right. We'll talk again soon. Will Bunch, find him at Inquirer.com. On the Twitter is at Will_Bunch. Sign up for his newsletter. And tomorrow you can be part of this chat. It's the inaugural event of the Will Bunch Culture Club.
Just Google Will Bunch Culture Club and you'll get it.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you. Great to see you. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. And with that, we're done. That's another day. And, you know, such as it is, we got a work cut out for us. I criticize because I care. I criticize because I love. I want this country to survive. And frankly, if we lose another presidential election, it's done. I have no hope for the future. That's when I try to figure out where I can help my kid escape to, and then I can die. That's because that's what we've got left. And on that positive note, hey, I don't know what we're doing tomorrow yet. Tomorrow. Still open. We'll figure out what the news brings, what the day brings. Thursday, as usual, is Howie Klein. And on Friday, you know, we just came off the Oscars. This Sunday night are the Grammys. And on Friday, I have a special show. We're going to depart from politics for the day. Linda Chorney is an artist who was nominated for a Grammy 10 years ago. And there was a lot of controversy about it because she was an indie artist. And she ruffled feathers. And now this year she was nominated again and they tried to erase her from the nominations list. But some lists had already gone out and some publications put her name out there. And turns out she was indeed nominated. Again, lightning struck twice in this case. So Linda Chorney is going to join us Friday for a fascinating conversation and performance, too, to, you know, get us in the mood. Not that I'm going to watch the Grammys because most of the music I don't even know anymore. Her category, the Americana, the roots, the folk, that's where my music has been relegated to. So, all right. Anyway, that's that. We'll be here tomorrow regardless. Maybe Nevitz will be here and he will call in or not. I guess that's why he wasn't here today, because I challenged him. Oh, well, we'll figure it out tomorrow. I'll leave you with the news because, you know, we can. All right. Have a good night, everyone. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Associated Press Tuesday morning is reporting that Moscow has decided to, quote, cut back operations near Kyiv and Chernihiv to, quote, increase trust at the talks aimed at ending the fighting. This statement comes as Russia and Ukraine had another round of talks in Istanbul. Turkish President Erdogan said he expects solid outcomes from the talks and wants an immediate ceasefire. Ukrainian President Zelensky said his country is prepared to declare its neutrality, one of Moscow's demands. So now we wait, I guess. Russian forces have largely stalled on the ground in parts of Ukraine, but evacuations are finally underway from the port city of Mariupol, where the mayor says Russia controls most of the points of exit. More than 3.8 million people have already fled Ukraine since the war began. Half of them are children. President Joe Biden on Monday said that he stood by his unscripted remarks that Vladimir Putin should not remain in power.
I'm not walking anything back. I wasn't then, nor am I now, articulating a policy change. I was expressing the moral outrage that I feel, and I make no apologies for it.
Okay. Well, it might not seem that way, but there is a lot of activity around the House Select Committee investigating the events of January 6th. A federal judge on Monday ruled that then-president, the former guy, quote, more likely than not, committed crimes in his bid to prevent Congress from certifying the 2020 election results. U.S. District Court Judge David Carter ruled in a case involving sensitive emails that Trump's ally and legal advisor, John Eastman, was resisting handing over to the Select Committee. Eastman was claiming attorney-client privilege to shield the emails. Well, Judge Carter ordered those emails released, writing that Eastman's plan was clearly illegal and Trump knew it. He added, quote, if Dr. Eastman and President Trump's plan had worked, it would have permanently ended the peaceful transition of power, undermining American democracy and the Constitution. Good. But then there's this. The Washington Post and CBS News are reporting that the White House logs from January 6th that were finally turned over to the House committee show a gap in Trump's calls of 7 hours and 37 minutes. Yeah. So the January 6th committee is now investigating whether it has the full record, really, and whether he communicated through back channels, phones of aides, or personal disposable phones, according to people familiar with the probe. We have also learned that the committee is now seeking an interview with Ginny Thomas. Yeah, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. After it was reported that, well, the committee has text messages showing Thomas pleading with then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows to continue the fight to overturn the 2020 presidential election results. The former guy's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is expected to appear before the committee this week voluntarily. The committee also unanimously voted on Monday to bring contempt charges against White House Deputy Chief of Staff Dan Scavino and Trump's one-time trade advisor, Peter Navarro. Well, President Biden on Monday rolled out his budget proposal for the fiscal year 2023. The proposal includes almost $7 billion to counter Russian aggression, as well as an increase in military spending. What? And more than $33 billion to support law enforcement and crime prevention. The plan also includes $26 billion for NASA, making it the largest request in the space agency's history. That's because they're going to begin to set the stage for human exploration on Mars. All right. Overall, the proposal would cut the federal budget by $1.3 trillion. And in order to reach that, it calls for a new minimum tax on billionaires. This new tax plan idea applies to anyone with more than $100 million. That would be the very wealthiest 0.01% of American households. And finally, he did it. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed that controversial piece of state legislation that critics are calling the Don't Say Gay Bill. What it does is it bans certain instruction about sexual orientation and gender identity in the classroom. The new law goes into effect in July. It states that, quote, classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade 3 or in a manner that is not age-appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards. Supporters say it'll help parents regulate what students learn and discuss in school, but critics say it's another in a long line of measures to further silence and marginalize LGBTQ individuals. But it's not only Florida. There are now similar bills moving through state legislatures in at least 5 states, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Indiana, and Kansas. They'd all restrict how textbooks and curriculums teach LGBTQ plus topics, who can be hired, and what teachers are allowed to say when it comes to gender identity and sexual orientation. There's no guidance in the text of the bill how to deal with a first grader who has 2 mommies. Just saying. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.